let's, for the next few minutes, we got about 5 minutes, let's begin to ask him for souls. Let's begin to cry out for souls. Come on, I want you to begin to pray like it was you going to hell. I want you to begin to pray like it was your son or your daughter. Come on, let's ask him, Lord. Ask him for souls. Lord, we ask you now. We ask you now for a great harvest, Lord. Come on, cry out for souls. Drug addicts, prostitutes. We ask you, Lord, to awaken them. We ask you to draw them. Holy Spirit, we ask you to begin to draw those that are unsaved. Come on, that's it. Let that cry arise. We say, give us souls lest we die, Lord. Cause us to birth souls. We thank you, Lord, for salvation springing up in Bluefield, Lord. We thank you for sons and daughters coming out of the kingdom of darkness. We thank you for drug addicts being set free. We thank you for prostitutes being set free. We thank you for musicians bringing their instruments into the house of the Lord and having an encounter with you. Come on, lift your voice. Let's let heaven hear us crying out for souls. Come on, we speak to the north and we say, give them up. We speak to the south and we say, give them up. We speak to the east and we say, give them up. We speak to the west and we say, give them up. Souls, Lord, we call them into your kingdom. On our jobs, Lord, we call souls into the kingdom. In our schools, Lord, we call souls into the kingdom. Bring salvation, Lord.
Darkness, you have filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but say, yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen. Beautiful Savior, you have brought me here. You pulled me from the ashes. You have broken every curse. Blessed Redeemer, you have set this captive free. Lord, I can't help but say, you are. All your promises. promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen. Whoa, yeah. All your promises, yes and amen, yes and amen. In your promises, my confidence is your faithfulness. I will rest in your promises, my confidence is your faithfulness. I will in your promises, my confidence is your faithfulness. I will rest in your promises, my confidence is your faithful, faithful and faithful. You are faithful forever. You will be faithful. You are, yes, you are. All your promises are yes and amen. All your promises are yes and amen. I know you are faithful. You're faithful, God. You're a faithful God. You'll bring it to pass. You'll bring it to pass. Oh. And I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithfulness. I will rest in your promises. My confidence not found in me is your faithfulness. And I will rest in your promises. My confidence is your faithful, faithful, faithful. You are faithful forever. You will be faithful. You are, yes, you are. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. Your promises. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. Your promises. You're faithful till the end. You're faithful till the end. Faithful to the end. Your promises are true. They always follow through. You're faithful. Your promises are true. They always follow through. You are faithful. Yes, Father of kindness. Yes, amen. I believe in you. I believe in you. Every time, I believe in you. I believe in you. Yeah. What you said, you'll bring it to pass. I believe in you. Oh, faithful. Faithful to the end. Faithful. Faithful, you are.
Flowing river. river whose sparkling streams bring joy and delight to your people. Your river flows through the city of God Most High, into his holy dwelling place, O Lord, into your holy dwelling place, O God. To your holy dwelling place, O Lord. Every promise, O God, every promise, we believe it. Every promise, we believe it. We believe it. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Tell him we believe. We believe. We believe. Switch gears a little bit here. We're gonna sing about his mighty power and his glory. God, we're so thankful right now, Jesus. Psalm 46, yeah, that's what we're gonna do. We thank you, Lord, for Psalm 46, God. We thank you for this song, God. We thank you for the power in this psalm, Lord. And we bless you, Father. We bless you, Father. All glory and honor and praise be to your name, Jesus. Glory and honor and praise. You're the mighty one of Israel. The mighty one of Israel.
The nations at his feet. He breaks the bow and bends the spear and tells the wars to cease. O mighty one of Israel, you are on our side. We walk by faith in God who burns the chariots with fire. Host, you're with us in the fire, with us as a shelter, with us in the storm. You will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go with the Lord of hosts? God of Jacob, fierce and great, you lift your voice to speak. The earth, it bows, and all the mountains move into the sea. Oh Lord, you know the hearts of men. until you let them live. Oh God, who makes the mountains melt, come wrestle us and win. Oh God, who makes the mountains melt, come wrestle us and win. Lord of hosts, you're with us in the fire, with us as a shelter, with us in the storm. You will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go but with the Lord of oceans roar, you are the Lord of all, the one who calms the wind and waves, makes my heart be still. The earth gives way, the mountains move until to see the nations rage. I know my God is in control. The ocean roar, you are the Lord of all, the one who calms the wind and waves, makes my heart beat still. The earth gives way, the mountains move, into the sea the nations rage. I know my God is in control. Lord of hosts, you're with us in the fire, with us as a shelter, with us in the storm. You will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go but with the Lord of hosts? With us in the fire, with us as a shelter, with us in the storm. You will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go with the Lord of hosts?
Something here real quick to build your faith. Just keep playing, because I want to go back into this song for just a little bit before we move. But I want you to hear how God will take care of you. See, that's what this song, Lord of Hosts, You're with us. So I want you to hear a testimony to build your faith this morning.
Talk about, I recently went for an eye exam, and I told him he had to watch because I'm a crier, but I recently went to get my vision checked. In the past about 5 years, I've been struggling. My vision's getting worse and worse, and I told Brandon a few months ago that I just claimed that it got better because I thought, you know, if it keeps getting worse, I don't know what's going to happen. I went last week to the eye exam, and my vision was always negative 550, and the doctor, he did the test, and he kind of looked at me, and he made me do it 4 times. I had to read the same chart, and one eye is now 525, and the other one's negative 5, so it just... I just claim that it keeps getting better and better. I think it's just about speaking it out sometimes when you feel... I think the devil was trying to attack me by saying I would be blind in 5 years because it kept getting worse. It's just speaking it out and standing on it and just knowing. Because I told Brandon that I considered LASIK surgery for a while, and I don't know, a lot of y'all probably don't know this, but when we tried to have a baby, we struggled for 2 years. I was told I couldn't have a baby. And she was 9 pounds, 12 ounces baby. So I always say that God kind of, He shows up and shows off for you. Yeah, but thank y'all for letting me share it.
Now here's what I want you to do. One of the things that Sarah said when she first shared this with me is she kept declaring and claiming her healing. She kept saying it. She kept declaring her healing. And she said there was a service here a couple of weeks ago where the presence of the Lord came in here, and I think she said, I said, there's a healing anointing in here. And she said, I knew something happened in my eyes. I told Brandon something happened in my eyes. And she said, I kept taking my glasses on and off, and I was like, I could see better. And so sure enough, the Lord did that in the midst of worship. But the key is, her eyesight had changed none, but she continued to declare it and speak it forth. And her exact words were, Lord, if You can give me a baby when the doctors say I can't have a baby, You can heal my eyes. Yeah. See, according to your faith, be it unto you. So I want to go back into this song just for a few minutes, and I want you to begin to declare whatever you need. Don't have to have anybody lay hands on you. Nobody laid hands on her. She, with her mouth, laid hold of it by faith. So let's worship just a few more minutes, and I want whatever you need, I want you to begin to speak it out your mouth.
The oceans roar, You are the Lord of all. The One who calms the wind and waves, makes my heart be still. The earth gives way, the mountains move into, to see the nations rage. I know my God is in control. The oceans roar, You are the Lord of all. The One who calms the wind and waves, makes my heart be still. The earth gives way, the mountains move, into the sea the nations rage. I know my God is in control. With us in the fire, with us as the shelter, with us in the storm. You will lead us through the fiercest battle. Oh, where else would we go with the Lord of hosts? Oh, you will lead us
with us in the dark. You will lead us through the fiercest shadow. Oh, let us go with the Lord alone.
Come on, what battle is it you're facing this morning? Keep singing that. Come on, keep singing that softly. Come on, what battle are you in this morning? Come on, just begin to get a revelation that you're not riding on your own. You're riding with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, I want you to see. What battle are you facing? Come on, I see you moving. Just begin to see yourself in the midst of battle and the Lord of Hosts stepping his foot down. Come on, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. Come on, he's coming into your situation right now. He's coming in. Just begin to pray in the Spirit all across the room. He's coming into your situation. Come on, let's begin to cry out for each other. There are problems in this room, but we got to learn how to stand as family and war for one another. Come on, just for a few moments, let's begin to pray in the Spirit. Lord, we believe as we pray in the Spirit, you heal every issue in this room. We believe, Lord, every circumstance, every war, every battle. Come on, pray for your neighbor. Begin to pray that the Lord would enter their situation right now.
Lord, you have always been our eternal home, our hiding place from generation to generation. Long before you gave birth to the earth and before the mountains were born, you have been from everlasting to everlasting, the one and only true God. The one and only true God. And everything that we want to hide from you, Lord, you search it out and you expose it by the radiance of your beautiful face, O God. So let the sunrise of your love end our dark night. Break through our clouded dawn again. Only you can satisfy our hearts, filling us with songs of joy to the end of our days. Filling us with joy and gladness to the end of our days. Come now and overwhelm us with your gladness, O Lord. Overwhelm us with your gladness, God. Let mourning and grief be gone. Overwhelm us with your gladness, God.
If you have a need in the room, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to keep it up. Any kind of need, raise your hand. Now I want you to look around you. If you see someone with their hand raised, I want you to make your way to them, and I want you to pray over them. We've got to learn how to function as a body. So if you see somebody, keep your hand up. So somebody gets to you, keep your hand up. Wherever you see a need, it's time for the body to function. Wherever you see somebody with a hand raised, go. It's time for the body to be the body.
Replace our years of trouble with decades of delight. And let us see your miracles again. And let the rising generation see the glorious wonders that you're famous for, that you're famous for.
Father, we thank you that right now We thank you, Lord, that right now, as hands are being laid on these, that you are coming into their situation. Thank you, Lord, for the body being the body. Thank you, Lord, that you're coming in right now to the situation. We thank you, Lord, that you're coming in. Come on, you feel that shifting in the atmosphere. It's through love and compassion that he moves. We seal everything in you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you told us to pray for one another. And Lord, we thank you right now for your presence being released in the room. We thank you for every circumstance being shifted and changed. We thank you, Lord, that there's great power when we pray for one another. So we thank you, Lord, for moving in every circumstance in the room this morning. We want to take up an offering this morning. We've got our friend and guest from England. He's an Irish Englishman, whatever that is. Denver is with us this morning, so we want to sow into him. If you have your regular tithes and offerings, and you want to give your regular tithes and offerings, please raise your hand so an usher can get you an envelope. Your regular tithes and offerings, put it in an envelope. And then sow generously into Denver. But if it's in a tithe, if it's in an envelope, put your regular tithe and offering in the envelope. Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you, Lord. If you're writing a check, you don't have an envelope, you can also designate it in the memo. Tithe or offering to Denver. But Lord, we just thank you right now that you meet every need represented in this house. We thank you, Lord, that you rebuke the devourer for our sakes. We thank you, Lord, that you cause us to lend and not borrow. And we thank you, Lord, for Denver that you've brought here as a messenger of God. We ask that you cause him, Lord, to be blessed in every avenue of his life. And we thank you and we honor you for it, Lord. Let this seed accomplish everything that you have designed it to accomplish. In Christ's name. If I could have the children come forward, please. Thank you. Father, we thank you for the children of this house. Lord, we thank you as we say every week, God, they're not the ministers of tomorrow. They're the ministers of today. Once again, I have kids lined up all across here with no sticker on. As teachers, we're going to stop accepting children who do not have stickers. So we got to do a better job at this. But Lord, we pray you protect them today even though they don't have a sticker. We ask, Lord, that you would watch over our children. Lord, we thank you that they're not the ministers of tomorrow, they're the ministers of today. So we just ask, Lord, that you would bless them and keep them, open their spiritual ears, open their spiritual eyes, cause them to walk in what you have called them to. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be dismissed. If you are a parent, make sure your kid gets checked in. We're going to try to find a better way to do that. Let me tell you one thing before Denver comes. We're planning a sub-sale that you can take and sell at your business. And Sean is going to South Africa. I'm going to Ireland and England and then to Kenya. And we need some money. Lots of it. So we're going to... Sean's mom is an expert on this topic from what I understand. People love her subs. So we're planning a sub. We'll give you more details about that. But today, Sean has the form for you to take. I'm saying this right. To take to wherever they want to sell them at. So you can sign up people in businesses where you work. Please help us do this. We want to make sure that we go with grace and have no stress, and that the Lord uses this means to prepare us to do what he's called us to do. So Lord, we just thank you in advance. Thank you in advance for the trips that we are taking. Lord, you told us that you would send us to nations and you would give us nations. So Lord, we believe in advance for great favor and blessing to be upon this. And we thank you, Lord, in advance for what you're doing. We'll give you more details on how you can volunteer and help with that. But for now, take the form. Find everybody you know that's hungry and wants a sub. And tell them it's their lucky day. The Lord has blessed them with a nice sub sandwich. Well, Denver is our friend. He's more than a minister. He's our friend. He's grown dear to our hearts. I'm getting ready to go be with Denver in Ireland and England in a couple of weeks. So he's come here, I guess, to prepare the way for me to go. He's blazed the trail so I can get back over there. But he always brings a fresh word from the Lord, and we're honored to have him here today. So if you would, please welcome Denver Thompson.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I can have a monitor there so I can hear what I'm saying. So I have to apologize. My throat's a little bit quiet this morning. The last couple of days in England has got a bit what we call chilly. England is chilly all the time, wet, miserable, and cold. But just recently, the fall decided to kind of kick in. And so there's a bit of a change in the weather. And then kind of flying as well, I kind of got a bit of a tickly throat, as you might say. So I asked Sean this morning if he could grab me a Starbucks latte, hazelnut, and he says to me, there's no such thing. We're in West Virginia, there's no such thing. So I was like, you got a McDonald's latte? Just something to open my throat up a little bit, you know. In England, you know, a lot of the places, even the small little towns, they've got a lot of the mod cons, you know, like the Starbucks and all this kind of stuff. They've got all the malls. But it's great to be here with you. I've got to say, you know, when I come, and I don't come to give necessarily, I come to receive. And I believe God has got a word for you, and I know he has. I know he's going to speak, but I come as much to receive as I do to give. And I was just thinking this morning, I'm going to come one day and just camp out for a week. And you guys, the worship and the presence of God and what you carry as individuals, what you carry as a church, and what you carry in your call and anointing in Christ is very unique. And I don't say that lightly. I travel around the UK, I travel around America a lot, and I see a lot and I hear a lot. But I believe it's sometimes just in the silent sermons and in the stillness of time when God is really exalted. It's more about a sermon when we're walking down the high street, when we're Monday morning and it's Monday morning blues and we don't want to be at work and we've got the struggles of life with our wife or our children, trying to get them out of bed. It's not about when we raise our hands on a Sunday morning from 10:30 till 12:30 and then we go home and then we come to Bible study or a prayer meeting. But it's in those stillnesses of time that really God moves in our lives. And that's been my journey, even since I was here last time. How many of you know we're on a journey? Some of our journeys never seem to stop. Some of us seem to be always uphill. And some of us always seem to have downward momentum. But we're all on some kind of journey. And I want to encourage you this morning on the journey that you're on. It's been a journey that I've been on for a few months now that God has been talking to me about. And it's a great honor and privilege to open the Word of God. I never take it lightly. It's a great privilege to be here and serving Pastor Doyle and Tony and, you know, Sean and Amy and the rest of you guys and those of you that are in eldership, those of you that are on the worship team, those of you that love God and serve this house. It's a great privilege to be here. And I never overlook that. I believe it's relationship that is key. Like I said before, I believe there's power in obedience more than there is in opportunity. We can get opportunities 24/7 every day of the week, but that doesn't mean that the power of God is going to manifest in those opportunities. But I believe when we walk in obedience is when His power is revealed in our lives. So I want to encourage you today from Mark chapter 2. And I want to kind of just break this open to us this morning. I want to break it out to you. This has been my journey for the last several weeks. And, you know, I believe in preparing sermons. I believe you need to have an outline. I believe in always using the Word of God as a shield and a foundation and hiding behind the Word of God. I believe if we can hide behind the Word of God, it will be a direction, it will be a protection, and it will also be a provision for our lives. And so I believe in the Word of God. I believe in preparation. But I believe in a prepared life, not just a prepared sermon. And so I want to talk to you out of my life journey, and which has been going on for the last several months. We're in Northallerton, which is a little village in North Yorkshire in England. We have about 16,000 people in the whole proximity of that area, not the church, not just yet, not the church. But in the area of the town is kind of growing. It's got a kind of a bit of a double whammy to the town. The town is growing and developing with houses and the building of a school. But then we've had the prison being pulled down, which had a few hundred inmates in there. Then we had the Sage building, which employed about 2,500 people. They did wages. And then we've had a lot of the high street stores that have closed down. So the financial infrastructure of Northallerton right now is probably at the worst it's been in decades. As far as jobs, there's very few jobs in that area. Where Northallerton is based, it's right in the centre of the country. So it's 2 hours to Edinburgh, Scotland, and then 2 hours to London by train. If you were to drive by car, it'd probably take you a few days. It's not like America. I mean, we flew back from the airport yesterday in about, I think it was about 2 hours. We did it in, no, not quite 2 hours, but 2.5 hours. But took Doyle about four and a half hours to get there because of traffic. But in America, for people to travel 3 and 4 hours is nothing. In England, with the A roads and the B roads, you know, we don't have, you know, 4 and 5 lanes like you guys do. We don't have these big highways. In England, it's still tractor and trailer. And I'm not joking. Ireland especially. Just ask Doyle about it, going down some of these back tracks and roads. And it's very tricky. And so what you find is that in England, where we are, we're in a what we call a rural community. It's a farming community. And I'm just giving you that bit of background, a bit of knowledge, so you know where I'm coming from today. I think it's very similar probably to West Virginia. West Virginia, obviously, you know, over the years and over the decades, most recently has been a place that's not had many jobs, and the finances have not been flash flowing, and there's been a lot of poverty, a lot of drink, drugs, and a lot of various aspects of calamity in the area, in the region. Obviously, a lot of its mining and various things that were here were taken out of it years ago. Very similar to England. A lot of the areas in England, like Sheffield and Bradford. Sheffield was known for steel. And Bradford was known for wool industry. Then you've got places like Barnsley that was known for mining of coal. And then obviously when a lady called Margaret Thatcher came in the 80s, what she did is she pulled out all the, she kind of started to close all of these miners down because of people dying and all the manner of deaths and people dying at young ages and the illnesses and sicknesses. And so she came in and started to close a lot of things down. And so I'm saying that to you because I believe that, you know, God is building a relationship here with the church here and what God is doing in England. And I don't take that lightly. You know, it's great to sometimes just be able to, you know, send a quick text to Doyle or just chat to Doyle and he answers, maybe not 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, when I kind of messaged Sean the other day trying to find an address and a phone number. I got a response about six hours later saying, by the way, I'm not usually awake at 2 a.m., but... you know, because it's different time zones in England. It's 5 hours difference. So when I was texting him, it was like, what, 10 o'clock my time maybe? 9 o'clock and it's like 2 o'clock your time. So I don't think sometimes. I even call people at these random times just to talk to them. Next morning they tell me off. Why would you think about calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning? I'm like, what do you mean? It's 9 o'clock my time. God only speaks at 9 o'clock, right? No, I'm joking. But it's great, you know, like recently, you know, Sean, you know, kind of just FaceTimed me because I asked him a question. He's like, hey, I want to talk to you face to face. And it's amazing with modern technology. You can be thousands of miles away and God still speaks to you. And even through people, as you just do a bit of FaceTime for 5 minutes, you see the person's face and you talk to them and God speaks. And so God is all about relationship. And incidentally, I mean, Doyle's not in the room, but I don't know if you guys want to fly a worship leader over for 6 months or something to us, because that would be great. I was thinking this morning, I was thinking, why don't we just kind of grab one or two of these guys and, you know, we'll put them up and feed them for a few months. Maybe I'll give them a good learning experience of how it is to be on a mission field in North Yorkshire with a load of cows and a load of sheep. Because North Allerton is also known for a farming community. And so we have a lot of farmers in that area, in that region. And again, recently, over the last 10 years, more than anything else, the farming industry in the United Kingdom has gone to pot. It's gone downhill. Modern technology, phones, microwaves, iPads, iPods, iPray, UPray, all this type of stuff has become very popular. I mean, I couldn't even turn my phone screen around this morning. I had to ask Sean how to do it. Because I was trying to get this right so it goes that way, and it wouldn't do it. And I've been trying to do it for an hour this morning, thinking, well, how do you do it? And all of a sudden he said, well, you just slide up the screen and you just click the button. You see, modern technology has just gone sometimes way ahead of even the Irish. And by the way, they say the Irish are strong in the arm and thick in the head. So if anybody's got Irish roots, you know why you're so daft. No, I'm only joking. Sorry. But... So I hope that kind of gives you a little bit of background that we're talking. I'm talking from reality this morning, talking from honesty to you. We have a church of about 12 people, and you know, we love God, we love people. You have more people on your worship team than we do in our church. But God has graced us. We get to travel, we get to minister. We get to minister sometimes to thousands, sometimes it's just a handful of people. Sometimes, like ourselves on a Saturday night, it's about 5 people. Sometimes it can be 25 people. The fluctuation of our church the last 4 years has been up and down like a yo-yo. But I'm glad our faith and our determination in His purpose and His promise is secure, like we sung this morning. Amen. Because I've come to realize that it's not in the flesh, but it's in the God of all flesh that we trust. And, you know, all Jesus had was 12 people. You see, to the world, 12 people, a handful of people, even in statistical worlds of the church, you know, your Assembly of God, your Elims, some of your Church of God and all these things, you know, to have 12 people is seen as a failure. There's no pound signs coming through the doors. Who's going to pay the bills? Who's going to actually do, you know, who's going to lead worship? Who's going to run the sound desk? Who's going to prophesy? Who's going to preach? Who's going to teach? Who's going to clean the toilets? Who's going to hoover the carpets? You know, if you're a part of a denomination, they would close you down. You'd be seen as a failure. And I've got, you know, some good friends of mine that are part of denominations, and they're maybe only running 18 to 25 people. Because, you know, church fluctuates, and all of a sudden they're being told, oh, you should be closing down. Why are you even together? You know, God can never have given you a promise. I've got news for you this morning. When God is birthing something, and when, you know, your wife, if you're married, hopefully, and you've had a child, you don't invite everybody around. It's not like a 50th birthday party or an 18th birthday party. There's only a handful of people that are there. It's usually your husband, your wife. Obviously, if, as a wife, you're giving birth. Maybe there's your mother-in-law, or maybe there's a friend, and usually there's be a couple of nurses or 3 nurses. Not a lot of people there when it's hard work. Not a lot of people there when God is birthing something. Not a lot of people there when he's called you to run a race that other people don't want you to run. And so I want to encourage you this morning that Jesus had 12 men that turned the world the right side up. There is no word failure in the Bible. There is no area in the Bible that tells you, if there's only five of you, you need to close your doors. There's nowhere in the Bible that it tells you that God's vision will never come to pass. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever tell you that the dreams and the visions and the declarations that he's given to you to decree and declare will ever fail. It doesn't tell us that the promises will fail. It doesn't tell us that his word will fail. In fact, the Bible says that we are to do what? We are to trust the God of all flesh. And so I'm coming from this perspective today that, you know, we only have a handful of people. But I want to encourage you today that here in Acts chapter 2, and we read slightly before this, it's this whole thing of Peter's mother-in-law gets healed in chapter 1. And it goes on, it's all about the healing on the Sabbath. Many people were healed on the Sabbath day. And you've got these Pharisees, these Sadducees, the couldn't sees and the wouldn't sees. These people that were so critical of everybody around them. All of a sudden you've got them saying, well, why are you healing people on the Sunday? Why are you healing people on a Sabbath day? I mean, why would you complain about the deaf eyes being opened, the deaf ears being opened, the blind eyes being opened? Why would you be complaining about somebody that was crippled now walking? Why would you complain about what God was doing? And so here then we go on and read, and then it says he cleanses a leper a little bit towards the back end of chapter 1. But verse 1 of chapter 2 and verse 2, this is about Jesus says he forgives and heals. But here we read in Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, and again he entered Capernaum. So again he entered. Now here's the thing about Jesus. They say that Jesus really only traveled in about a 50 to a 60 mile radius. Today we're so busy getting on planes and trains and traveling the world, we won't even minister on our own doorsteps. People want to be missionaries, but they won't be a missionary to the neighbor. Let me tell you, if you're not going to be a missionary to your next door neighbor, you ain't going to be a missionary in South Africa or in Tanzania. You know, if we can't love our neighbor who we sit at the side of in church, how can you love your neighbor in Pakistan or India? So here, Jesus only ministered in a small proximity of a place. And again, it said he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was heard or noised abroad that Jesus, or that he was in the house. Everybody say Jesus. Come on, say Jesus is in the house. Now we need to realize this wasn't about Billy Graham. This wasn't about Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. This wasn't about Pastor Doyle or Denver Thompson or Sean. This was about Jesus the Christ. And it says it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. I want to ask you the question this morning. Is Jesus in our house? You know, I'll be honest with you. Show me your house and I'll show you your life. Show me your house and I will show you your life. You might say, well, that's very personal. You might say, that's not very nice. That's not very loving, very caring. But I'm asking you a simple question this morning. Is Jesus in our house? Because here it says that he comes to Capernaum and all of a sudden he goes to somebody's house. Now, number one, that person was privileged. Because for Jesus to be going to somebody's house was obviously a very honorable thing. In the Bible, you can count on your hand, one hand, how many times he went to somebody's house. Wasn't very often. I mean, the Bible says that he ate from house to house, but there's only really significant stories in the Bible. Was it Zacchaeus who was up the tree? Anyway, I don't know if he went to Matthew the tax collector's house as well. But there's a handful of places that he went in these houses. Now my question is Jesus in our house? Is it being noised abroad that Jesus is in the house? Or are we too busy with NFL or soccer or rugby or, you know, the things that please ourselves on a Sunday afternoon? Is it noise abroad that our neighbours are coming to visit or we're having a barbecue? Or is it noise abroad that all of a sudden we're the prophet or the prophetess or we're the new kid on the block? Is it noise abroad about our ability and our gifts and our talents? Or is it noise abroad that Jesus is in the house? You might say, well, Jesus is not really bothered about my house. He's more bothered about this house, the house of flesh, than he lives inside there. Well, I've got news for you. God is interested in every aspect of our lives. God is interested in every area of our lives this morning. And I want to encourage you this morning that we need to maybe get back to the grassroots of falling in love with Jesus one more time. One of the words recently God's been speaking to me about is grassroots. And because sometimes I think we can just get away from the grassroots of just being in love with Jesus. Even in our relationships with our sons and our daughters, and even in our relationship with our wives or our husbands, got to be honest, sometimes you can just lose sight of the reality of the love that we should have for one for another. God has really been speaking to me about the heartbeat of the house and the home recently. More than anything else, about, you know, what is my heartbeat in my house? Is the heartbeat clean? Is the heartbeat pure? You know, is there stuttering in the heartbeat? Is there something wrong with the arteries of the house? Is there something wrong with the relationship of the house? Is there something wrong with the communication of the house? And God asked me this question. Is Jesus in your house? I was out just walking one day in the field, and this scripture came to me. So we read here then in verse 2, it says, immediately many gathered. Listen to this. This was not on email or Instagram. We didn't have Facebook back then. There was no mobile phones. It wasn't 50-50. It wasn't phone a friend. It wasn't tag a friend on Twitter. I mean, John and Charles Wesley, William Seymour, William Booth, some of these mighty men and women of God that traveled the nations, that are anointed men and women of God. Smith Wigglesworth, Corrie ten Boom, but especially like John and Charles Wesley, they traveled the United Kingdom on horseback. They came to a place in Brompton, which is just outside Northallerton, where we used to have the church. They came there twice. Now, when you read the autobiography, they didn't minister in many places too many times, so there may be a lot of places only go once. Sometimes they go back twice. Now, Brompton was one of those places that went back twice. All of a sudden, it says it's recorded that 22,000 people showed up in a field. That was before modern technology. There wasn't God TV, wasn't TBN. Wasn't anything like that. And here we read, immediately, as soon as Jesus was in the house, it was noised abroad. And immediately, many people gathered together. So there was no room to receive them, not even near the door. But notice what it says. He was preaching the word to them. Wasn't a gimmick. Wasn't giving expressions. He wasn't trying to give demonstrations. This wasn't magic tricks. He wasn't trying to give them anything that wasn't real. He was giving them the word of God, which is the word of truth. And the grassroots, I believe God is saying to us this morning, is the word of God, the word of truth. There are many versions of the Bible, but there are not many versions of the truth. There is the truth and the truth alone. And my Bible tells me that Jesus, he is the way, the truth, and the life. There are not many versions of the truth. There is one truth, and that is Jesus the Christ. So it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. All these people gathered, and it says in verse 3, and they came to him bringing a paralytic or a paralyzed man who was carried by four men. Now get a glimpse of this. All of a sudden, Jesus comes to your house. All of a sudden, everybody finds out that Jesus physically is in your house. Nobody else can get in. They're all in there. You've removed the bed, you've removed the television, you've removed, you know, the tables, the chairs, you've crammed everything in. It's like sardines. Everybody's squashed into your house. Then they're all outside. Then you can't even get up your driveway because your field and your driveway is that full. There's throngs of people around. I've got news for you. When Jesus is in the house, his presence is in the house. I didn't say his presence, the gifts that he gives, but I said his presence. That's why I want to ask us this morning, is Jesus in our house? Because if Jesus is in our house, then his presence is in our house. The Bible says the Prince of Peace is in our house. Shalom should be in our home. Healing should be in our home. It should not just be a place that we come to once a week on a Sunday morning to receive healing, signs, wonders, and miracles, to receive the Word of God, to receive a prophetic word, to intercede in worship, to be able to build ourselves up and to honor God and worship God. This is something that we should be carrying 7 days of the week. This is something that we should be carrying in our houses when we go home. We should be able to say that Jesus is in our house. If Jesus was to rock up to our house today and he says, hey, Sean, I've come around. I just want to hang out with you a little bit. Tell me a little bit about your life. Come on. You know, I want you to put one of those deer steaks together for me. I want you to, you know, come on. I want to have a bit of corn on the cob. I want to hang out with you. I want to have a latte. I want to know about your life. I want to know how things are going. I want to know what God is doing in your town, in the church. I want to know where you're planning to go. I want to know a little bit about your life. And also he just comes to hang out. Would we have to put away the magazines? Would we have to get away, get rid of some of our DVDs and some of our CDs? You know, if Jesus was going on our phone, would we have to remove some contacts or some pictures? Would we have to, you know, delete some stuff? If Jesus was really to come and rock it up, sometimes even in our churches, would there be some things we need to deal with and put away before Jesus can actually enter? And my question to us today is about this grassroots is, you know, in England, we have football, soccer, the greatest sport in the world. And we had a team last year that won the Premier League. Now, the Premier League in England is the elite of all soccer. And you've got places like Manchester United, Manchester City, you've got Chelsea, you've got Arsenal, you've got Tottenham. Manchester City had spent something like, I don't know, it's like $400 million on players. You got this place called Leicester, a little city in England, who spent something like $45,000 on a team. And you know what they did? They won the Premier League. And everybody was kicking up a stink. They won it by about 8 points. They beat loads of teams by 5 and 6 goals and all this money. So everybody was saying, there's no way they should have ever won the Premier League. The striker 5 years ago was working part-time. He was a joiner or a plaster or something, and he was training twice a week. All of a sudden now he becomes a bee's knees. He's got this, you know, $200,000 a week salary. He's driving a brand spanking new car. He's now scoring all these goals. He's now won the most elite trophy you can win in England. Why? Because there was dedication. There was blood. There was sweat. There was tears. He'd learnt to work. He learnt that the grassroots mentality of seeking something. Now, I know that's not seeking God. I know that's not seeking his will. But what I'm saying to you today is that we need to get back to the grassroots of seeking Jesus for who he is, not for what he can give. You see, Manchester United, Manchester City, they buy their trophies. They do. They can go out and buy whoever they want around the world. They've even started to partner with a lot of the soccer teams in America, because soccer in America is becoming really big right now, especially for the women. But you've got like LA Galaxy, you've got New York and all these type of things. They've all began to partner with these British clubs because there's a lot of money involved. You see, when I grew up in a Christian home. But when I grew up, the first church I attended in Haworth, in Ferne, they started 34 years ago in their living room. They didn't have Facebook, they didn't have Twitter, they didn't have a business card. Keith worked 60 hours a week. Tuesday night they used to meet, Sunday night they used to meet. Signs, wonders, miracles, used to teach the word of God, used to preach. We used to go there, I was only a baby. We used to go there, people would be up the staircase, up the house. They had to build a conservatory onto the house. There were people in the bedrooms. There were people not leaving there sometimes till 3 o'clock in the morning. They'd start at like 7:30 and the preacher stopped preaching. They'd have a tea and a coffee. Somebody would get on the keyboard, back on the drums. All of a sudden start worshipping again. Somebody else would start preaching. That's what I grew up around. Every aspect of my life has been starting a home group. When we first started in North Allerton in 2012, 2013, the first week we started, my wife and Vincent, who's from South Africa, who's our assistant, and worked alongside us, we were like, hey, we want to study the Word of God. My wife was like, I'm hungry for some of the Word of God. I had the privilege in Bradford, again, which was a house group, Assembly of God Church. I served for 14 years. And we used to just teach the Bible line by line, verse by verse, on a Tuesday nights. So we studied the book of Romans, Ecclesiastes, and we'd done stuff like Genesis, we'd done stuff like Corinthians, we'd done Galatians, Ephesians. The last thing we studied was like the book of Revelations. But we'd go through it for like weeks and years at a time. I think Romans took us like 2.5 years to go through. So we started one Wednesday night, we just said to a few people, hey, by the way, we're going to do a Bible study. 26 people showed up that first week in our house. The rest is history. But sometimes I'm like, well, have I got away from the grassroots of the Word of God? Have I got to this sign where I want bigger? You see, bigger is not always better. Sometimes it's just bigger. I said, bigger is not always better. Sometimes it's just bigger. Sometimes in our modern day, we've lost this connectivity of the intimacy of fellowship. We've lost the intimacy of being able to seek the face of God. We've lost the grassroots understanding of what it is to be in love with God. You know, we sang that song years ago. The Gaithers sing it now for a few years. If you remember the song, it says, I'm falling in love with him over and over again. I keep falling in love with him. Over and over and over and over again. I just keep falling in love with him. I don't know about you, but I want to be head over heels with my God. Not just my wife, but I want to be head over heels with my God. I want to know that I'm in love with God. And I want to keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Because the Bible says that he gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. It should not be a chore to serve God. It should not be about do's and don'ts and regulations. It should just be about the acceptance of his love, the acceptance of who he is to us, and the acceptance that he loves us despite of who we are. And so here they've got this paralytic man, and I mean, we don't really know him. Maybe he's partly paralyzed. Maybe he'd been paralyzed from birth. I mean, really, there's a lot of stories we could say about this paralytic man. But he couldn't get in the house, Sean. There was no way, Pastor Doyle, that this guy could get anywhere near Jesus. There were throngs of people around, but this guy was desperate. There was something about this guy that was in the house, who we know to be Jesus. This guy knew that what he had to do is he had to get through the crowd. He had to push through. He had to get to Jesus. Today we're busy trying to get to the doctors, we're busy trying to get to the bank manager, we're busy trying to annoy the pastor or the evangelist or the teacher, we're busy trying to annoy our husband or our wife or our school teacher, we're busy trying to annoy people around us, we're calling them and texting them and tweeting them, if they don't answer within 2 minutes we're getting upset and we're spitting our dummy out and why haven't you got the answers, when really we need to get to Jesus. If Jesus was in our house, let me tell you, half our issues would not be issues. And so we've got this man that's just desperate. He can't get through the crowd. He can't get in through the front door. He's ringing the doorbell as much as he wants. He can't get in. Nobody can hear him. And all of a sudden we find here that this man had to have four men carry him. I mean, maybe he was my size. I don't know. Maybe, you know, a bit chunky, you know. Little small stumpy tree. I don't know. Maybe he was 6 foot tall. Maybe he was skinny as a rake. Because, I mean, if he's been paralyzed for a few years, maybe he's been bedridden. Maybe he has low self-esteem. Maybe he has no faith at all. Maybe he's closed the doors on anything that he felt God or Jesus or anybody could even do for him. Maybe he was upset, you know, with the local, you know, Pharisees. Maybe he was upset with the local people in the temple and the local priests because they obviously didn't do anything for him. But yet this man was desperate. I want to ask you a question this morning. How desperate are we? No, seriously. I'm not talking about cliches. I'm not talking about church stuff. I'm not talking about just showing up on a Sunday morning where everybody else leads worship for you and somebody reads a sermon to you, but yet your Bible's got dust on it because you've not touched it all week or all year. You know, the Bible says that, okay, it's not about just having a word physically that we can touch, but it's about the Word of God in our hearts. But you see, there's an old saying that says, dust on the Bible is drought in the heart. We wonder why our nations are in drought. We wonder why our schools are in a mess. We wonder why our governments are in a mess. Well, maybe it's because we're not opening our Bibles and reading the word of truth. Maybe it's because Jesus is not in our homes. Yeah, he might be in our churches. Yeah, we might feel him on a Sunday morning or a Saturday night or a Friday night when, you know, the prophet comes to town or a guest minister comes or the pastor prophesies on a Sunday morning and you lead worship. But what about that time of difficulty? What about that time of stress and worry? What about that time when you hear the worst news possible? What about that time when sin, the opportunity of sin arises in your life? What about that time when there are battles and strains and mountains that happen every day of our lives? And all of a sudden you come to this place where you become paralyzed. When you become in that place of need. When you're in that place of, hey, all I need is Jesus. I don't need another latte. I don't need another Jack Daniels. I don't need another shot of heroin. I don't even need another shot of that prophetic preacher. I don't even need another song. But I need Jesus. The reality is the grassroots of our lives is that we need Jesus 24/7. I don't care how mature you feel. I don't care how long you've been saved. We need Jesus today like we did yesterday. We need him more today than we ever have needed Jesus. This paralyzed man, he was desperate. He was crying out because he was at his wit's end. He knew he couldn't get through the crowd. People were probably just dismissing him. Oh, we know you. We've known you for 25 years. Oh, we've seen you at the temple loads of times. Oh, we've seen you crying many times. Who do you think you are? You can imagine it pushing past him, trying to get to the next place. I want to get to Jesus. I want to see this man. I want to see this man that heals and restores and forgives. I want to see this man they call the Son of Jesus, who incidentally is God with skin on. Because we need to realize if you come to Jesus, you come to God. And if you come to Jesus, you come to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They are three in one. They are not separate entities. You don't get one without the other. It's a bit like when you buy some shoes, you get a tongue in your shoes. You know, you don't get one without the other. You don't walk out of the store just buying a tongue. You buy the whole lot. You don't buy a set of shoes and have no soles in there, do you? I mean, it might look nice when you're walking, but I mean, you're going to get a bit of wet feet, aren't you? You don't get one without the other. So if Jesus is in our house, God must be. And the Holy Spirit must be. Or is he? Or do we treat him as separate entities? Do we have a one-night stand with the Holy Spirit and then throw him out and say, well, unfortunately, you convicted me. Do we dance with the devil on a Saturday night and try and dance with God on a Sunday morning? You see, we need to get to Jesus. I love men and women of God, and I honor men and women of God, but they are not going to save our souls or heal our diseases. So this guy is coming, he's got these obstacles in the way. Do you find the obstacles get in your way? I'm talking to you this morning, church, you're listening to me. There were obstacles in this paralytic man's way. Do we sometimes let obstacles get in the way from our entering into the presence of Jesus the Christ? What obstacles get in our way from entering into the house of to his presence? Maybe sometimes we allow a problem in our way from getting to Jesus. You see, this paralyzed man did not allow anything to get in his way to get to Jesus. Because what they did is they did what? They got four men to carry him. They ripped the roof off the joint. Now, it only hit me this morning when I was thinking about this that it's very interesting what God's been doing here and shifting some stuff. I didn't even think about this. I don't even know. Sean never told me. But I know Darl referred something to this last time I was here, which I can't really remember. But there was something about a tornado or something. I don't know. And something about the roof and some stuff getting messed up at the other ITL church, but nothing else got touched. But God ripped the roof off something. Now, I've got news for you this morning. I think God wants to rip some of the roofs off your houses and some of the roofs off your mentality of your lives this morning. I think God just wants to destroy some stuff and rift some stuff. Maybe God cannot get through your front door. Maybe he can't get through your window. Maybe he can't get through your relationships. Maybe he just can't get through your pride. Maybe he just can't get through your ability and your gifts and your talent. Maybe he just can't get to you because of who you think you are. And who I think I am. Listen, I'm talking to you out of my experience. What God has been speaking to me over the last 2 months about Northallerton in England, about my wife, about my children, about my family, and saying you need to get back to the grassroots. Because listen to this, my church is my family. That's before I go out the front door. That's the grassroots that God wants us to come back to. Because how is the church in our house, in our living room, before we ever get on the pulpit or the platform? I'm more interested in wanting to know what people's lives are like before they ever stand in my pulpit. Now, here's the other deal to it, though. I also want to know that God is in my life and that my heart is right before I stand in my pulpit or before I stand in somebody else's pulpit. I had a guy contact me, or we want to put a meeting on for you next Saturday night. Never met the guy before. I don't even know who he is. Oh, we'll bless you. We'll do this. We'll do that. I said, listen. I said, I don't know who you are. I've never heard about you. I don't know who you are. I could be coming into your church. And I might end up being defiled myself. You say, you said that to him? Yes, I did say that to him. Because if two don't agree, how do you walk hand in hand? Amos 3:3. Just because you have a church of 100 people or 1,000 people, just because your name's on TBN, just because you can prophesy, decree, and declare, does not mean that you're a pure, clean vessel. I've got to make sure that my vessel is clean. I've got to make sure that there are no obstacles that are stopping me from getting to Jesus. Might even be my wife. Might be my mentality of my wife. It might be my perception of my children. Might be the way that I relate to my children. Might even be the way that I relate to my congregation or the people that I serve on a weekly basis. God is saying he wants to rip the roof off. What does he want to rip the roof off this morning? Maybe he wants to rip the roof off past hurts. Maybe God wants us to rip the roof off the past hurts. Maybe there's past disappointments. Maybe there's doubt, fear. Maybe there's unbelief. Or maybe there's not right belief. Because I believe you can believe, but maybe you don't have right belief. So the Bible says, signs and wonders follow those who believe. So maybe if signs and wonders are not following you, maybe you're not believing correctly or believing right. You see, God is looking for correct belief, not correct behavior. But if you believe right, ultimately you act right. You see, our brother, you go fishing sometimes. It's a prophetic word. You're just going too much, man. You need to lay it down. You need to lay your rod down. No, I'm joking. But what do you do with the fish? When do you gut the fish? Last night when you're in bed thinking about going? When do you gut the fish? When you've caught the fish or before you catch the fish? You see, we need to realize that the way we believe will ultimately work out in our lives. How we believe will determine how we act. How we believe will determine the outcome of the situation. Proper belief will work out proper behavior. You cannot expect the world to come into the church and expect the world, as soon as they come in, to behave right and to act right. But if 20 years down the line, that same man or that same woman are still acting like they were 20 years ago, then you begin to ask, what are you believing? Because you obviously ain't believing right. And maybe the situations in our lives of our doubts and our fears and our finances, maybe even our illnesses and our sicknesses, maybe the situations in our marriage that we've been going around for 20 years and 5 years and 6 years, maybe you've had 20 years worth of counseling. If you ain't going to believe or choose to believe correctly, then you are never going to be able to walk out what God has got for your life. Because proper belief will always bring proper behavior. So maybe we need to get off the roof of doubt, the roof of fear, the roof of unbelief. Maybe there's a roof of lack in your life. Remember, we're talking about having Jesus in the house. When Jesus is in the house, his presence is in the house, the room does not have to be full for the room to be filled. You're listening to me. I said the room does not have to be full for the room to be filled. Let me tell you this. Some of my best worship sessions, some of my best times with Jesus has been me and Jesus in the room. Honestly. Some of our best worship times at church has been when there's been about five of us and we just had a CD on and we just abandoned ourselves. Not looking out the window, not looking at who's not there, but celebrating with the angels who are there. Because I guarantee every time there's an empty space, the angels are sat in these chairs. I know we're entertaining angels this morning. Maybe we need to pull the roof of that insecurity. Maybe there's the roof of, what if it doesn't work? What if I do step out into the seat and all of a sudden it doesn't work and I doubt and all of a sudden I sink? What if God leaves me? What if he didn't really speak the word correctly? What if I misheard? What if I misjudged? Why can't I just stay in the comfort zone? Why can't I stay with the crowd? Why can't I stay with my own ability? I believe God ripped the roof of ITL and that whole region there, whatever God did, because God wanted to shift this man from his comfort zone. I believe God is bigger than a ministry or a church because he wants to build his kingdom. And his kingdom shall be established. What is the roof that you're limiting yourself with today? This paralyzed man, they had to pull back the roof and lower him into the midst of where Jesus was. Notice he didn't allow the obstacles to keep him back. Notice he didn't allow people to keep him back. Notice he didn't allow doubt or fears to keep him back. Why? Because he was desperate. He was hungry. He was in need of a savior. He needed healing. How many of us can really say that we press in and we press through because we're hungry, because we're in need? Woman with the issue of blood. I mean, again, that woman, Jesus had throngs of people around him. That woman should not have been near those people. She would have smelt. She'd been hemorrhaging for quite a number of years, probably. She was unclean. She was being pushed away to the edge, just being pushed and pushed and move out of the way. She's been overlooked, being overshadowed. She would not have been accepted. She wasn't being shown love or compassion. She probably got a few elbows in her face. She might have had a black eye. She might have had a bust nose. She might have had more bruises on her body when she got to Jesus than she did when she left. I wonder if they were all healed as well. But you see, that woman knew that she couldn't allow the doubts and the fears. She couldn't allow the cultural aspect. She couldn't allow the thoughts and the opinions and the doubts and the fears of the people around her to stop her from getting to Jesus, that she began to get on her knees. How many of you know we need some neology, not just a theology? Many people are caught up on theology. Well, I don't know about you, but I found that neology is what sorts a lot of my dilemma and a lot of my doubts and my fears. And when I get on my knees and I get in there and I begin to get in, all I have to do is just touch something of somebody of Jesus. All she had to do was get through that crowd. She should never got through that crowd. She wasn't allowed through that crowd. She was being kicked, she was being mocked, she was being beaten, she was being pushed aside. Can you imagine people kicking her? Can you imagine? I mean, guys, this is reality. I'm talking about reality. I'm talking about pushing through who you are, getting to Jesus. I'm talking about pushing through your church and your ministry. I'm talking about pushing through your nightmares that you think is your young child. I'm talking about the nightmares that you think is your husband or your wife. I'm talking about these little things, oh, the car wouldn't start this morning. I'm talking about the reality. This woman will have been being kicked. Can you imagine thousands of people? You try and get through a crowd of 1,000 people crawling on your knees. It's not nice. I wouldn't recommend it. It's not nice.
How many times have you felt in that place? Because I know I have. I felt in that place when I felt, man, I'm surrounded by all these people. But they're kicking me, they're looking at me, they've got all sorts of observations about me. I feel inadequate. I feel alone, God. God, you've called me to Northallerton in the midst of thousands of people. You've called a handful of people. But God, what is it that's stopping the roof from coming off my life? Have I limited myself, God? Have I become opinionated? Have I got pride? Am I able to humble myself and say, I thank you, God, for what you've given me, instead of always seeking for something different? Is Jesus in the house? Maybe we're looking for the and longing for the good old days. Maybe we're at comfort in our own success. Maybe we're at comfort in our own success. Maybe there's shame over our past failures. Maybe there is shame over the past. I've got news for you. God has given you grace clothes for your grave clothes. God has given you grace for your disgrace. He's given us grace for our shame. We need to choose today to remove all roofs and ceilings of limitations from getting to God. You see, he said he was preaching in this house. He was preaching the love of God. He was preaching the hope. And he was preaching the life. When Jesus is in the house, the love is in the house. It's time to get our love on again. It's time for us to have love at last sight. Lord, I love you. The Bible says it's that agape love, which is that unconditional love that God says, despite of what you said, despite of what you've done, I love you. The hope is what? An anchor of our soul. Nothing else is an anchor. Not your position, not your title, not your gift or your talent. Hebrews said, Jesus is the anchor of our hope. He was preaching the life. You don't give birth in a cemetery, do you? You give birth on a birthing ward. Because life will never produce death, but it will always produce what it says on the tin, which is life. Jesus, he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And maybe we need to pull the ceiling off this morning and allow Jesus to our lives. Is Jesus in your house? If we could just get to Jesus, then he will work a miracle in our lives. If we can just get to Jesus, then he can meet our need today. If we can just reach out to him today, he can put the broken pieces of our lives back together again. If we can just press in to his presence, he will heal our body and our mind, our spirit and our souls. If we can just seek his face today, he will forgive us from all unrighteousness. If we can just get to Jesus. Maybe we let the problems get in the way of Jesus. Today we need to make up our minds that we will allow our house to be the place of God's presence. This place, everybody say this place, is that place. This place
is that place. But maybe we need to displace some things in order for this place to be that place. Sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds very cliche. We could write a book on that, Sean. Forget about that crap. Sorry. I'm talking serious here today. Listen, if we can just dislodge and displace some of those mentalities that we have in our minds, if we can just pull the ceilings and the roofs off our lives, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically today, then this place can be that place, the place of His presence. Because I don't know about you, but I lay my life down every single day to be the place of His presence. It's not about people. It's about presence. You see, the Bible says that we are a people of His presence. But are we a people of His presence? So my encouragement to you today is Jesus in our house. He's Jesus in our house, because there's a remnant right now around the globe, around the world, that are standing. But I still believe that Jesus wants our houses back. He wants us to get back to that grassroots of I'm falling in love with Him. Over and over and over and over again, I keep falling in love with Him. Over and over. And over and over again, I just keep falling in love with Him. Can you remember that first time when you really, really, really fell in love with God? I'm not talking about the mushy stuff when you're a teenager and there's about 20 of you went to a youth camp and all of a sudden you came back, you're going to save the world, and within one night, you know, you were back to normal. And 6 years later, then all of a sudden you were the same person you were 6 years ago. I'm not talking about that time when you just felt a few goosebumps and, you know, your brother got healed of cancer and all of a sudden for 6 months you ran with God and then you backslid and you've become cold. And I'm not diluting any aspect of healing. I'm not diluting anything like that. But I'm talking about the reality. I'm talking about a real relationship and really falling in love with Jesus. Really falling into that place of intimacy with Jesus. Really falling into that place of knowing that you have that relationship with Jesus. Allowing the roof to be stripped, allowing the hurricane to come through so that God can displace you so that this place can be His place. I believe that's what's happened with Sean and Amy, you know. I believe God is, you know, it's an interesting journey. I don't want to just kind of pull them out, because I know you're all part of the journey, those of you that ITL, and what God has been doing here with Doyle and Tony, and I believe it's a significant thing. I believe, you know, this year, and I decree and declare this, it's going to be your most stretched year that you've had. Now, you might say, well, that's not hard. No, it shouldn't be like that, really. If you look at the natural aspect of it, two churches merging, things come together. Actually, you know, God's not a natural God, is He, when it comes to how we think intellectually? But I decree and declare as well, and I've said this before, and I know other people probably have, I believe God dovetails together when people come in, we work together in the kingdom. Yeah, I believe that this is going to be a year of cracking open of the nations. I mean, you've already mentioned South Africa, or something mentioned South Africa to me. Where else? Africa. Yeah, obviously Ireland, England. Obviously you've been into Africa before. You know, I've been into South Africa before though, have you? But it's very interesting. When Doyle said that to me, I didn't say anything to Doyle, and Doyle doesn't know anything about this, but I've had two very strange visions recently. And I'm not a big vision person. But I had two interesting visions. Always space. And the first one was a picture of Africa. A picture of Africa. And it was South Africa. Now you might say, yeah, but your assistant that works with you for several years is from South Africa. Yes, he is. But we've never traveled to South Africa. He's been back home once for 2 months. A couple of years ago, he has his own business, so he can't travel. So he went home 2 years ago for 2 months, November and December. He's not been back home since. I've not been to South Africa. I know a lot of ministries. I know a lot of people. We've had people from our church from South Africa. Never been. Never even thought about South Africa. Why would you want to think about South Africa when you've got stuff on your own doorstep that you do? You know what I mean? I mean, it's just a bit like, well, why? Same as India, Bangladesh, Pakistan. I mean, I get opportunities, but I've never thought about it. But anyway, there was this thing.
I remember last time I was here, I ministered, and they said, some say God has been ministering from my journey. Last time was Hosea 14, 1 to 7. In verse 7 it says, I will revive the seed or the grain that has fallen to the ground. You know what God was saying to me about South Africa? And I believe you're going to carry this when you go there. Is this. God was saying that South Africa has been in a drought. Now, not all of South Africa has. Naturally, we know that. Don't take rocket scientists to figure that out. It's on the news. Well, in England, probably more than America. A lot of South Africa has been in a drought. A lot of it is actually fresh. But I felt God was saying, spiritually, there has been a drought in the land of South Africa. And when you go, what you're going to do is you're going to be a waterer. You're not going to be sowing seeds, but you're going to be a waterer. Now, we know Corinthians says, one sows, one waters, and Billy Graham brings the increase. Or Sean Boone brings the increase. The deer killer from the hills of West Virginia. Oh, dearie me, maybe I shouldn't have said that. But no, here's the deal. God! Sean is not God. Billy Graham is not God. Benny Hinn is not God. T.D. Jakes is not God. They can't grow your church. They can't grow your ministry. They can't grow your crops. In fact, they're more likely to destroy them. But God, through the servant who sows the word or who waters, allows the increase to come. And what I saw was a farmer in the field, and he had his head down. Man, he was trudging through the field, and it was hard work for him. Tony, it was hard work. Now, it was a picture of South Africa. And it was like God was saying that God is going to send somebody. Now, I thought, this is my thing. I was like, God, that's me. Honestly, I mean, you want to see the people I sent messages to. They just rebounded. And I was like, why are they rebounding? You know, when you get like a, just that dead kind of... We've all got a wife, right? No, you know what I mean? When they hear what they want to hear. You know, it's like, oh, there's $100, darling, go and do your shopping. Oh, thank you. Yeah, darling, that bill needs paying. Pardon? I thought you did that the other day. But it's like that, isn't it? Have you ever had that rebound by somebody when you just talk something to them and you just don't get anything? So I spoke to this one guy in South Africa, and he just goes, oh yeah, leave that with me, I'll get back to you in a few months. And I'm like, well, God's spoken to me, this is urgent stuff. What are you talking about? I'm ready to go right now. I'm off, I'm on the plane in my mind. I'm like, I'm South Africa, great. Never been before, another country to conquer. That's the flesh for you, isn't it, you see? Another flag to bring back to the United Kingdom. I've been in South Africa, yay! And God's sitting there going, what? I'm in South Africa every day. That's what God says. But God was saying about somebody watering. And I believe that there's something significant in when Sean goes. I didn't know anything. I mean, this is not pre-planned. You just said it to me flippantly yesterday. Just something he said to me on the way back. We weren't even discussing Sean. It's just something about South Africa. I don't even know what it was about. I don't even know what was said. I think maybe we're talking about Vincent or something, and all of a sudden you just mentioned, oh, Sean's, that's it. Yeah, we were talking about Vincent, just about his milk around his business, and just mentioned, oh, Sean's going to South Africa. But the other very significant thing is this. When I was here last time, God really touched my heart on this, right? On the United Kingdom, right? On England. But not only England, but Ireland, Scotland and Wales. So a couple of days later, this is what happens. All of a sudden, I get this next vision. I'm just sharing this with you because it's family. Sorry to take your time. I know you want to go and eat your 20-ounce steak, your roast beef, and Yorkshire pudding. You don't have Yorkshire puddings here, do you? When you come to England, I'll make sure you do. You know what they are with gravy. They're nice, aren't they? I'm missing it. My wife will be having it right now. 5 hours difference. But the next thing was I got this next vision. I tell you, very unusual for me. Usually I phone Sean to find out what's going on, but I didn't need to. No. But anyway, here's the deal. I got this vision. And it was five nations. Like it's five nation loop. You won't believe this. Five nation loop. And all these nations had different colours. And then I was like, what is this? And like it became more vivid to me. It was the outline of the United Kingdom. A little small shape. You can get England into Texas a few times over. It's very small as England. And then there was Ireland. Now in Ireland, you've got Northern Ireland, you've got the Republic of Ireland. So you've got England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, and Republic of Ireland. And God said to me,
Denver, the seeds, you've been preaching this about reviving the seed. You need to revive and get out and bring the word revive and revive the seeds over England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales and Republic of Ireland. Now, Republic of Ireland is now under European rule. So if you go into Republic of Ireland, it's Dublin, it's all euros. Everything is euros, not pound. But they still identify as Irish. But here's the deal. The next thing, I was like, right, what's the picture? So I gets this picture, asks for this picture. All of a sudden, I Googles, this picture comes up. The first picture I come to, England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales. You see all the different colours. Now you might say, oh, that's easy. I mean, that's just one of those things. No, the colours that I saw in the actual vision were fields. Now, of harvest. Now, when you see fields of harvest, them fields are different things that they've got, different crops. You might have wheat, you might have barley, you might have potatoes, there might be wheat, all sorts of different things. And what you see is there's different coloured fields. That is the five different nations, the five different colours. Now, you might say, why are you saying that? I'm saying that to say this, because I'm saying this prophetically, that in the first week of December, the 3rd till the 10th, we are going to do a tour which starts in Scotland on the Sunday morning, the 3rd, goes to Northern Ireland through the week, goes into Republic of Ireland, goes to Wales, and then finishes off in England on the 10th of December. I want you to commit with us in prayer, but I also believe Sean is to be a part of that team. Now, you might say to me, well, why would you just say that flippantly? And I'm not saying that disrespectfully to Pastor Doyle. I don't want to say anything disrespectfully. Pastor Doyle can override that, or anybody, you know, or even Sean's wife. I'm not standing here saying that this is a decree from God. And I don't want to also say it out of place, but I believe I'm like in my living room right now because Jesus is in this house. Now, listen to this. I have been praying. This has been for several weeks. You know, last time I came here was June. So it's a few months ago, and that's when I was broke down and God was speaking to me. Now, the other day, Sean, you guys were doing a prayer thing in here, and Sean put the video, and the first thing that came, I was sat there gobsmacked, because all I saw was the British flag. I didn't even see these. I just saw the British flag. And I was like, God, there's something. And it was Sean that put that on. Now, here's the thing. What I believe God is going to do, I believe God is saying that it's up to us to revive the seed. So again, we're going there to water to revive the seed. I'm going to put a flyer out over each area. We're going to go on, and what we're going to do is, it's going to be revive your marriage, revive your finances. It's going to be revive your business, revive your community, revive your relationships. Because I believe that's what God is wanting to do with the United Kingdom. So I just wanted to share that with you. I believe, Sean, what I've been praying is that God will give me specific people to go. Not just to go, not just to pull a car full of people, which I can do. I could ask people tomorrow, they'll do it. But I felt God was saying he wants significant people to do it. I don't know about airfares, I've not even looked at any of that, okay? They've not been pre-planned. But I do believe, and I'm not doing that off the screen, I don't do stuff like this. I'm not playing games with you. Okay, but I'm also going to sow $100 into Sean. Now, whatever Sean wants to do with that $100, whether he wants it for South Africa, whether he wants it for England, I don't know. But I'm going to sow them $100 into him right now. I've got $100 that I had to carry with me. God told me before I came, you need to sow $100 to somebody. I don't know what this is about. I don't know what this is about. I'm not playing games with you today. I'm not saying I'm going to give him $100, so you need to give me $1,000. Listen, I'm not into money. Listen. I am not into money. I don't do this for money. If you did this for money, you'd be nutters. You'd have to get a proper full-time job. Listen, I do this to serve God. Where God leads, he feeds. The source might change, but the supply never stops. Because when Jesus is in the house, he supplies. But this guy, I believe God is saying for this house, for Doyle, for Tony, for Sean, for Amy, that God is opening the nations. Because Jesus is in the house. Listen to me. Because you've allowed Jesus to open the roof of your ministry and your church. When that hurricane came through, that was a significant thing. And you are sat here today because Jesus took the roof of the mentality of ITL and of Freedom House, and he has connected you to the Father's house. There is a connection, what God is doing. that does not take away from Doyle and Tony's trip and them guys to the United Kingdom and Ireland. You guys so into them, so into what God is doing, because they're bringing stuff to us. You know, when Doyle comes, he's coming to work. He's got several places coming to ministry, going to be doing a conference for us. We're going to put him to work because we believe he carries something for the United Kingdom. This is a kingdom connection. When I stumbled across Doyle a few years ago, ministering in Bristol on Destiny, I was like, man, you come. I said, would you come to Destiny Conference and minister for us? He's like, I'll be there tomorrow. That was a connection. It was a YouTube connection. My question to us, is Jesus in our houses? Because when Jesus is in our house, our mentality has to change. It's got to change. The mentality we have has got to change. And he'll rip the roof off who you think you are. He'll rip the roof off who I think I am. And he'll pour in who he thinks you want to be, and who you need to be, and who he wants you to be. Tonight we're going to talk about being accepted. 6 o'clock tonight, we're going to talk about being accepted. God's going to minister with words of knowledge and going to minister to your life tonight. Come out, 6 o'clock tonight. We're going to talk about being accepted into Christ. But I just leave that with you. I mean, I don't know if you guys, I know you do prayer visuals, you're always praying. Maybe we need a picture, maybe we need that picture up on the wall somewhere, England, Ireland, Scotland and Wales, so you guys can pray into that. But, you know, God is really going to move. So anybody that wants to believe in the United Kingdom, then sow the seeds. You know, there's Tony, there's Pastor Doyle, it's going to be coming, there's Sean's going to, I mean, I don't know about this, but it's going to be the first week in December. I don't know, even if you're away, whatever you're doing. But we'll feed you, we'll house you, we'll take care of you. And I believe God will bless you. But I believe God wants you to be part of that team. Hallelujah. And I'm serious. You were out of the room when I said there's more in your worship team than is in our church. I said maybe you need to send one of the worship guys over to us. This little guy behind you, you know, he carries something on his life. Maybe send him over to England for 6 months. It's a good way of disciplining him. It's a good way of raising him up. We'll feed you, bro. We'll make sure that you worship. We'll make sure that you can feed the cows and milk the cows and, you know, but I believe there's a relationship that God is establishing and building. God, I tell you, you know, Doyle spoke a lot of wisdom into my life, and so has Sean. You know, you need that. You know, you need people that can speak to you from reality of life. You know, and anyway, there we go. Let's see what God's doing.
Thank you. Awesome, awesome word. Awesome word. I just want to say to you, you may not recognize this, but you've been getting squeezed. I know you recognize this part. You've been getting squeezed, but you're not the same Denver that was here a year ago or the same Denver that's been here ever. There's been a shift in your life, and the Lord's going to increase your influence and your prophetic voice, and I just declare that over you. You may not realize it, but what you've gone through recently has brought you and positioned you in another level. See, I heard you. I said another. Another level. It's a sign from God. We're going, baby. Another level. Another level of blessing. And the word you brought here this morning was more than just a word. It's a prophetic word. The Lord's using you as a prophetic, really in the office of a prophet, I believe, here this morning. Because your word just brought some clarity and some pounding. So I'm going to give you an opportunity while the piano's playing. If you recognize, please join us again tonight at 6. If you need to leave, leave. But if the Lord began to speak to you about a certain place in your life that you need to allow Him to take the roof off, I want to give you an opportunity to just come and pray. And if you have any kind of need in the room, if you have a need of, you know, your healing or any kind of ministry that you want, I want to release the eldership team to pray over you for any needs that you have. Also, I've spoken to several people, got several more to speak to. But if I have talked to you about being part of the prayer team that prays over people, you're more than welcome to do that as well. So let's just stand. And I just want to, if you need anything at all from God, we want to be here to minister to you. And then if this word is, if something in this word has really begun to deal with something in your heart, I want to give you the opportunity just to come forward and pray. We'll be glad to minister to you this morning. Father, we thank you that everything that you have spoken here, Lord, we receive it. We receive it as the word of the Lord. We receive it as the Word of God. And Lord, we thank you that you give us the courage and the grace, Lord, to pull off the roof that's in our life, whatever it may be, Lord, that stands between us and you. We just ask that you would give us the grace and the courage to remove it, God, so that we can come close to where you are and walk in what you have for us. We thank you. We honor you. Again, if you need any kind of prayer or any kind of ministry, please come forward. We'll minister to you. If not, and you want to be dismissed, you can be dismissed. Join us tonight at 6 o'clock. Tell someone, bring someone tonight. I believe that Denver's already told you that prophetic anointing and word of knowledge and so on will be released tonight. So bring some friends. Share it on Facebook. Let's have an awesome time this evening. Thank you for being here.